integrative health info. At its best, it's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science with Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Well, we're talking about the big C, cancer, but not in the traditional way. We're actually going to talk about, can drugs cause cancer? Now, this is a very important topic to me because I want to share a little bit with you, Dr. Holly here. My parents are both pharmacists. Yes, my father climbed the corporate ladder of one of the largest pharmaceutical companies my entire life. It was very interesting, and I love every single minute of my life because the way that my healthcare was in the beginning was basically here, take this. And I had this rebel sort of like, why?
No.
Why all the time? So I think there is value in all systems of medicine. I get it. I love it. But Dr. Decker Weiss, I'm going to throw this to you. What do you think? Can drugs cause cancer?
A lot of them do, and we know it. And what we need to understand is that there's risk benefits. That drugs like, you'll even see advertised on TV, that may have a side effect of lymphoma with some of the TNF-alpha blockers and things. The problem is the lack of disclosure, knowledge.
When you say risk benefit, meaning, because this is always how I drive my medical thinking, there are things that we want to do or things that patients might be pushed to decide. And I guess the ratio is like, what is the risk-benefit ratio? Does the risk outweigh the benefit or vice versa? Does the benefit of this modality to do whatever we need to have done to get the outcome, does the benefit outweigh the risk? And that's how we make our decisions sometimes, right?
Yeah, it is. And in a good physician, that's what we are always weighing. And herbs and homeopathy and setting a broken arm, they all have risk benefits to it. It's how all doctors in United, from chiropractors to acupuncturists, anybody who's a practitioner, weighs what's good and bad for somebody. The problem is when you see a patient every 3 minutes, there's no time for disclosure or real discussion in it. Or when you're so confused as to what you're taking and how you're taking it, because you might think you're taking one thing, the generic name on the label is different, so you can't understand it. But it's very frustrating because, and Holly, here's the real problem, okay? And this is in specialties. And I'm going to be very, very hard on conventional system right now. Not on the people, on the system, okay? I was trained by medical doctors. I owe my career to medical doctors. But the system has a problem. Meaning that, Holly, let's say I prescribe Diovan, for example. It's a common blood pressure medication. This class is highly suspected of causing cancer. I mean, incredibly highly, highly suspected.
And, Decker, and what's it used for?
It's used for blood pressure. So okay. Diovan is also called Losartan. And Losartan or Valsartan, for some reason, I'm skitzing it today. So it's a very common medicine, Holly. And people will take it.
So wait, can I back up? Just
sure.
for you out there, I want Dr. Decker to explain, why do medications often have two names?
They'll have a name that is out, that every scientist will use. It's the name of the substance: Valsartan, Losartan, Candesartan, Herbistat.
So that's more like the scientific name of it.
You got it. Then there's the marketing.
And then there's a brand name.
So Diovan is the brand name. And in England, that's not Diovan. That Losartan is called something else. That Valsartan is not called Diovan. Valsartan in Israel is not called Diovan. So they'll change it by countries. They'll change it by that. So Valsartan's Valsartan. That's where it stays.
Okay.
But here's the thing. If I prescribe that to somebody, I don't have to disclose it causes cancer as a cardiologist. I don't have to disclose we even think it might. And all of a sudden, 5 years, they come back and they have cancer. And I'll say, well, now you go to the oncologist, and they might say to me, but I heard that this might cause cancer. You go, well, we're not sure. Well, that's okay, Holly. You have to understand that that's medically acceptable, that risk-benefit from a cardiologist's view is acceptable. But in my life, there's a problem, Holly. I'm a naturopathic physician. As a naturopathic physician, that's not okay. To pass somebody with another major illness to another specialty isn't acceptable. So when we're looking at this, can drugs cause cancer? Many, many can. When we look at drugs for anticoagulation, the Coumadins, we suspect those. A lot of drugs, all those things cause cancer.
So when we're talking about these drugs that can cause cancer, specifically, right now, like these are heart medications.
Yeah, they are. And we're sending people across the hall to the oncologist, and it's okay. That's my problem. When I wanted to do this segment, Holly, I wanted to let people know to the listeners to know that I don't have to tell them that my prescriptions may cause cancer. I have no medical obligation to do it. And if you get cancer, I have no medical liability. And I don't know how that happened. I don't know how we can get away with that as doctors. And the only thing is, know what you're taking. Holly, we talk about think this through all the time. Boy, right. Understand something about medication. Medication is a synthetic that your body has never seen before when you start taking it. And drugs have a very, they have a part of them that can be quite predictable, but there's always, every medication has an unpredictable ripple effect that you won't know what it is. We do our best to figure them out, but all medications have a degree of unpredictability with each individual that takes it. Not only do you have to read up on what you're taking, especially if I say, hey, there's your Diovan, take it forever, right? Take it until it doesn't work, and that might be years, right? So if there's something that becomes a daily thing for you, you got to know what it is, but also how you feel when you're taking it. If you feel bad when you take it, but your doctor says, hey, don't worry about it, it's just lower blood pressure. No, it's not acceptable. If you don't, if you're experiencing side effects and the doctors say live with them, don't. You've got to get out of that system. I am telling you, okay. Listeners, think this through.
Now, you know I love you, but I love you even more at this point in time. And I know that I'm going to just continue to love you. Because here's the deal. We did a segment, and you can find it archived on Radio MD, about who's your primary care doctor. Who's your primary care provider? And we talked about how everybody should primarily be in charge of taking care of themselves. And this is a great example because across the nation, I'll go out and I'll lecture and somebody will, at the Q&A, raise their hand. Hey, what do you think about, let's say, Coumadin? And I'm like, and so I've caught on to this style of questioning. And I'm like, well, what do you think about it? Well, I don't know. Well, why are you asking? Well, my doctor has me on it. And I said, well, wait a minute. And then this is where it gets kind of tense because I sort of call them out and I'm like, you mean to tell me that you are taking a medication every single day that you don't know how you feel about it or what it does? Meaning, I do believe that your doctor has every right to make recommendations and write a prescription. After that, it is on you. Right. We have to take responsibility for everything we put in our body. And if we're going to put something in our body, gosh darn it, we better know what the risks, what the benefits are, and what the side effects are. That's our job.
Yeah, and with Coumadin, you're talking about preventing a stroke. So that might be better than getting cancer. Sorry, but sure. We have to look at these hard issues as cardiologists. But you have five other choices for blood pressure drugs, and you're going to prescribe Diovan? Now, I mean, come on, guys. You know, and it's just, it drives me crazy. We don't know if Diovan causes cancer. We think that the class has maybe an effect. But I have other options. Go to those. And I've never, and it's hard to find some of these things. So I love the primary care analogy because understand, listeners, that we don't always have your best interests in. We a lot of times just want to, as cardiologists, manage vital signs or just get you feeling better, just get that out. But boy, it can come with a terrible, terrible price of suffering and misery later on in life if you don't know what's going into your body.
You're talking about the reductionistic approach where it's like, hey, if we've got some vital signs that are cattywampus, it's my favorite word, are out of whack, not within normal limits, whatever you want to say, or if we're talking about, you know, something that we find on a lab test and we basically want to reduce you to just that number, we are missing the whole, okay, I got it. So Dr. Weiss, what you're talking about, when it comes to, hey, can prescription medications cause cancer? They can, and they can cause many different other things. What we have to understand when we're talking about proposed treatment options for patients is that there are risks and there are benefits, and it's important to weigh those out. And a lot of times in our conventional doctor's appointments, there is not the time, and they are not going to offer that, and they are not going to disclose this. So it's up to us to be our own primary care providers, right? And
you
we need
it.
To understand that drugs can be dangerous. They can help us, but we have to get informed and therefore empowered, okay? Information and understanding equals empowerment. And that's what we're trying to do here on Radio MD.